everyone, and welcome to the Brief, our Blue Bahamas podcast, where we talk about issues related to the conservation of our Bahamian environment that sustains our way of life. I'm your host, Crystal, with Jasmine and Heather, and our very special guest today, Arlene Nash Ferguson, who is the Junkanoo expert. Everybody who listens to radio already knows who she is, but I'm still going to ask you if you can give us a brief introduction of yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do with Junkanoo Wise.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It is truly a privilege to be here. When people ask for an introduction, my introduction really is four lines. I am a Bahamian by birth. I am a teacher by profession. I am a Junkanoo by passion, and I am a child of God by inheritance. Boom, that's it.
Solid. Perfect introduction.
Yes.
Okay, and today, of course, we're talking about sustainability and conservation, as always. And we're talking today, our focus is incorporating sustainability into Junkanoo celebrations and focusing on costume disposal and ocean protection. Mm-hmm. So this episode is called Sustainable Junkanoo.
Excellent.
Okay. So as we talk about the cultural significance of Junkanoo, I want to ask, I know throughout the years we've noticed, and I think all of us have been to some Junkanoo parades.
Of course.
I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure. You'd be surprised, okay? And if our audience, if you have not been to Junkanoo yet or any type of Junkanoo, Junkanoo in June, Junkanoo Summer Festival, Junkanoo Christmas, Junkanoo New Year's, Boxing Day and New Year's. If you have not been to any of those, man, you need to get out there. You need to find yourself in some sort of Junkanoo because it is beautiful. It is unique. And it is just so Bahamian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great experience. It's unique. It's something that you really can't experience in the same way anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to my question: how does the ocean influence the Junkanoo culture and the theme seen in parade costumes? We've seen over the years, almost every single year, there's at least one group that has something related to the ocean, right? There's like jellyfish, King Triton, Neptune, mermaids, grouper, like all everything. It's always incorporated somehow every single year. Tell us about how that's related to the culture.
Well, let me preface my comments by saying thank you so much for having me. And I congratulate these two ladies for the work that they do and the fact that they have chosen to engage in this very important fight that we have really to save our planet. And of course, the Bahamas, rightfully so, has to be front and foremost, because 75% of our country is water, is underwater. We are only one quarter land, and so our focus must of necessity be on the ocean. And so it is no surprise, and it's a wonderful thing that we as a people, including the Junkanoo groups, focus on the water. And as you quite rightly said, it's like in a cycle. Mm-hmm. It comes up every once in a while. And that is as it should be. And we would prefer to see that rather than China and Mexico and a couple of other themes that we beat to death. And so it is extremely important, and invariably the thinking and the thought process through the years comes the comeback to the water.
Mm-hmm. And how does that highlight the importance of the oceans? Because of course, we're all about sustainability and conservation of the ocean at Brief, in particular the marine environment.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Why is the ocean so important to Bahamian culture in general? What is it? Do you feel, from your perspective, is the pull that draws people to want to express these things through art, through Bahamian art?
Mm-hmm. The ocean is the overriding theme of our country. We are probably ranked in the top five. Maybe we are the top nation in the world in terms of how much mileage we have of shorefront because of so many islands. And it impacts our everyday life. It impacts what we eat. It impacts how we travel, how we get from one place to the next. It impacts virtually every facet of our life. So it is no surprise then that it is always front and foremost in our minds. And hence the Junkanoo groups pick up on that and display it accordingly.
Jasmine, Heather, you have anything that you want to weigh in on this topic?
I just like the fact that you said that it has such a great importance on our way of life. Wherever you are in the Bahamas, you're always walking distance from the shoreline. So it's no surprise that it would pop up in Junkanoo, because that's a great way of how we Bahamians express ourselves.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and having costumes like the grouper, key species, all these fish that we love to eat, especially queen conch appreciation, they bring those fish to the forefront of our attention. So really bringing together what makes us Bahamians and really what makes us island people, growing up on an island where you can get fresh fish, fresh conch, and really, like Jasmine said, be near the ocean at all times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. And so in that same breath, we do have an issue with costume disposal after parades. The costumes during the parade, like we said, they're magnificent, they're beautiful. And we do know that there are some ways that they... the costumes are sometimes donated or like recycled. I don't know if it's recycled or upcycled. They're put in like let's say a museum, or they're put in a bank or something of the sort, or a hotel as some type of decor. But the majority of it has, you know, which have been my experience staying after parades, a lot of it ends up in the road, just left over. You know, is there a way that we can, is there a way that we can find a better, I don't want to say disposal, right? But a better way to, like, you know, get rid of the Junkanoo costumes after the festivals?
I would like to answer that by starting at the very beginning. Junkanoo started in Africa, brought across the Atlantic in the memories, the hearts, and the souls of our enslaved ancestors. And they used 3 days holiday at Christmas to recreate their festivals from home in an environment that had defined them as animals. So in a new world, I hate to use that term, in a Western hemispheric context, Junkanoo started as resistance to slavery. And the Africans, in their traditional way, in attempts to adorn themselves for their festivals the way they did in the mother country, they used whatever was available here, what we would call indigenous materials. So you're looking at the sponge, you're looking at straw, you're looking at leaves and feathers and shells and whatever they could find. And we have no African voice that tells the story in the Bahamas. And so my take on the matter is that even the use of paper was resistance, was defiance, because slaves were not encouraged. In some cases, they were actually forbidden by law to learn to read and write. So when you decorate yourself with the paper that you are denied to use for other things, that is another example of a defiant spirit that refuses to be defined as an animal, that refuses to give up all of your history and your heritage. And so against that background then, we move into modern day Junkanoo, which at its core is still using discarded material. The base of our costumes is cardboard that we get either from the brewery or we get from the furniture stores when they throw away their big boxes. So at the very beginning of the Junkanoo process, we are recycling material that would otherwise be thrown into a landfill somewhere. We are recycling. That's how our costumes start. Now, your costume is cardboard based. For it to go up over our heads, we're using aluminum rods. Our finished product is crepe paper. Now, when we get to the end of the parade, and what you have seen on Bay Street, I could never explain it as well as Dr. Nicolette Bethel could, who is an anthropologist and who said words to the effect that in the African tradition, when you take off the costume, for want of a better way to put it, the spirit leaves. The costume is never the same when you wear it again. Mm. A Junkanoo costume is like a wedding dress.
Yeah, very true.
One time we wearing that, we are not wearing it again. When you come off Bay Street, you are going to make sure that you bring several pieces of your costume with you. When you get a call from a major resort that they have some big convention here, and the destination management companies have suggested to them, end with a bang, let's have Junkanoo on the big final last night. You have to be ready for that. So when you come off the parade, you are carrying your hat. You're bringing your hat back. And you are bringing what we call your show costume. We are bringing the pieces that you will be able to use for performances through the year. Separate and apart from that, if you are an off-the-shoulder dancer like me, your builder will tell you, bring that shoulder harness back, because those aluminum rods cost a small fortune. We will bring our shoulder harness back and we will put it out in the rain for the rain to soak the cardboard and to make it easy to take off. And while we are doing that, we are going to pick the costume, as we say in Junkanoo, because we cannot afford every year to start from scratch in purchasing those rods and feathers, and they cost a small fortune. And so you are going to pick your costume. You're taking them stones off. Some people even take the beads off to use again. You're definitely taking the feathers off. The feathers are almost like a mortgage. And so you are taking all of that off to recycle. And your builder, when the new season starts, your builder will use your aluminum frame and start to put cardboard on it and reinvent it again. So there is a lot of recycling that's going on in Junkanoo already. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the other thought I have about what we leave on Bay Street, so like I told you, we're not leaving anything that we can use again. Mm. The rest of it, be too tired to touch. We are exhausted. I live in no costume over the hill. I diet. And so we need to look at how we can assist the Junkanoos rather than criticizing them for what they do. We need to look at how we can assist them in doing what should be done. So, with their costumes when the parade is over.
So I have several questions.
Go right ahead.
This is just so, like, so interesting listening to the whole history and learning about where it all started and how I know now Junkanoo has probably become a little bit more colorful.
Yes.
And I mean in the sense that back then when you'd be using like newspaper. Box.
Well, colors were not available.
Yes.
Yeah, in the 60s, like, it was red, white, and blue, and maybe yellow and black. Yeah. And, you know, the kaleidoscope of colors came later.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now with that being a part of the competition, right, let's just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that in the past they would use feathers, they would use shells, they would use a lot of reusable
indigenous.
Organic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, organic material that could, you know, naturally decompose or, you know, be re-entered into the environment without consequence.
Right.
But now, is there any hope that we can go back to using that or possibly incorporate more of those natural materials in Junkanoo? Is it against the rules to do it? Is it something that we could possibly look into, you know, because it's more renewable? Now, after the festival, there is a team, like there's a cleanup crew that comes up because they anticipate it. Right?
Yeah.
And we know all of that already. And when they come to clean it up, is there, you know, it's just going right back basically to the dump and, you know, the
shack.
No, the name of the it's not called the dump anymore.
It's now called it's the environmental park or something.
Yeah.
She got it. We have to get used to the new name.
That's a great place for large debris to be dropped off.
Yes. So that's what usually happens, especially with the large pieces.
Right.
So, but there are some other pieces that get left behind, unfortunately.
When you see a large Junkanoo piece at the Eco Park, call me. Because I will bet you that does not happen.
Mm.
They cost too much. Those aluminum rods cost too much, and they are going to be reused the next year. That frame is going to be used again. And so nobody is throwing away large pieces. Yeah. No.
Not any super large pieces anyway.
No, not the what we call the lead pieces.
Yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like what you said is not only that it's a good thing for the environment to reuse these objects, but it's cost efficient.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that is top priority. Yeah. The truth of the matter is that's more top priority than the environment. It's the cost, you know, as much as we hate to say it, that's a fact. Yes.
So while the environmental impact will have certain repercussions, especially in the long term, in the short term, it's the cost. And these costumes, now people are thinking, oh, you know, it's just a Junkanoo costume. These costumes go up to from hundreds to thousands of dollars, and that's for a small costume. So the big costumes could run you into way more than that. So you
they estimate that the lead pieces cost. I need to check with Silbert, but I think the figure he quoted is somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 to get
that
the lead
sense.
Pieces on the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you said lead pieces, which part do you mean? Like
the gigantic ones that they are allowed to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they have,
which
so
I don't think we need a tongue, but anyhow.
The ones that usually have like the motors, but they're so incredible.
No, they can't have a motor. Nothing can be motorized on our parades. No.
Okay.
No, they have to be pushed.
Mm.
They are pushed. They are
so
allowed
the builders
to have
are
wheels.
The ones who put in the gears and the wheels and all of that stuff. I was thinking the builders were the ones who put like some sort of motor at the bottom.
No, there's no motor.
There's no motor.
No,
it's just
it has to be pushed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And so for small groups who might do Junkanoo and they're not using their costumes anymore, do you accept donations of pieces that they're not using, especially since you recycle your gear, your costumes as well.
When you say, do I accept, you mean, explain to me what you mean.
So if somebody wants to throw away their junk new costume, but they don't want to be wasteful, would you guys accept extra material?
At the museum.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. But my challenge is space. Mm-hmm. Because in Junkanoo, we have an expression that says, go with what you got. Mm-hmm. We don't get hung up on something we would like to have that we don't have. We got to go with what we got. And when I decided to create a Junkanoo museum, what I had was the house that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And that is what I put my Junkanoo museum in. It's my childhood home. So space is limited. I presently have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7 of my costumes in there. We are bursting at the seams. Yeah.
I was just going to say, how's the upkeep on, like, we know that there's a lot of hotels and banks or whatever other places that accept these big, beautiful costumes after the parade.
And that's a part of the strategy that we may wish to pursue moving forward. But we'll get back to that. That's definitely one way to use them after the parade.
But how is the upkeep on them? Like, how well do they stay together after about a year, 2 years? You said you've had your costumes for years.
Yes, ma'am.
How long do they stay intact?
When I was starting my museum, it was important to do it right. And I therefore secured the support of the Department of Archives of Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums. And Kim Outen Stubbs came to see the space and to tell me what I needed to do. And she said, you need to seal all the windows so that there is no sunlight, no direct light coming in. Because when she came to see it, it looked just like the house had looked. Mm-hmm. And she said, you have to seal the windows and you have to install air conditioning. And once you keep them away from light and heat, they'll be good to go. And absolutely. And I'll tell you another trade secret. Child, y'all better don't beat me up for talking these things. But if you want to restore the color on your costume, the color in crepe paper, spray it with WD-40.
Really?
The colors will jump right back out. Wow. Yes, ma'am.
I have some crepe paper at home, guys. And that already started to fade. It fades so easily. And that's
if you spray your costume with WD-40, the colors jump right back out. Sill says it's the linseed oil, whatever that means. No. These are all trade secrets. Yeah. You all got me here giving away.
We even have Junkanoo tips. Yeah, we'll get to that section. So are there any existing initiatives outside of those, getting the banks or the hotels or the insurance companies to have them in their lobbies? And the museums like yours, are there any other initiatives or ways that people who they finished the parade, they want to dispose of their costumes, they're concerned about it being biodegradable, or seeing if they could get another use out of it? Obviously you said the soul leaves when you take it off, but is there another way or any other initiatives or ways that we can get this to be a little bit more sustainable in reusing? Can the cardboard be repurposed? Can anything else be repurposed other than the metal and the wire in it?
I don't think you fully understand how important it is to initiate this conversation. I have not, to my knowledge, heard when I got your invitation to be here, it caused me to begin to think in other ways, because this is not a subject that comes up. And so we need to come up with a strategy. We need to decide what our ultimate goal is. What are we trying to achieve? Once that's very clear. See, because in Junkanoo, our ultimate goal, our mission statement is only three words, and we understand that. We won't win.
I was waiting for some in-depth, really passionate, intelligent,
articulate. No. We won't win. And everybody from the little boy dragging the pallets over to start the fire to heat the drums to the young man whose genius is creating these shapes out of cardboard that somebody threw away. Everybody in that group understands what our mission statement is. We won't win. That's it. Mm-hmm. And we have to do whatever we need to do that. And that is the same thing we must apply to this topic. Mm-hmm. We have to be very clear without a whole lot of words. What is it we are trying to achieve? And then we start to develop the strategies. Mm-hmm. And we have to engage the Junkanoo community early, mm-hmm. like from day one. Don't even think about engaging them now. We got to get to be. Mm-hmm. In January, after we catch ourselves, February is good time. Mm. And what you do is you go through the Junkanoo Corporation, New Providence Limited, the JCNB, which has representatives from every group and individual association participating in the parades. We got to draw them in early, and we have to get them to see our vision. Mm-hmm. We have to get them to understand why this is critical, why this is literally a matter of life and death for our country and by extension for our planet. Mm-hmm. So you got to come up with a strategy, and you got to be prepared for them to throw plenty rock and bottle at you.
Oh, yeah.
And once all of that happens and they throw these questions out that you never thought of before, then we start together to put together a plan for sustainability and how we can adopt practices and habits that will promote sustainability.
Well, I'm really glad that we're having this conversation now.
Me too.
We started to have this conversation because it is something that we don't really think about. But what I'm learning now too, because you are now teaching me a lot about Junkanoo that I don't know, because from the way I saw it, from being out on the parade, and going and seeing, these things that are left over, and this it looks so bad and this is not sustainable, and learning now that they have already been using recycled material. A lot of what the frame of the Junkanoo costume, the cardboard, that's basically the fundamental part of the costume. That is already recycled material. That is already something that we are reusing.
Absolutely.
That would have been just tossed aside without any thought to ever be reused. A lot of them will end up in places where they become decorations, right? So that's another way. And so they're being used longer and being reused, right?
Because that's why I started at the beginning.
Yeah, and so that is something that we don't really initially think about when we think about, oh my gosh, look at all this litter, right? The next thing is, I think the selling point would be to the JCMP and other organizations that do it, Junkanoo, is maybe as you use more sustainable materials, right? Let's say incorporate the shells and the feathers. I mean, if you could find a feather, right? The things that you may probably find like out on the beach or somewhere hanging a coconut, even the coconut shavings. I don't know how that would look or how you could be creative but using that. But we've always done this, being creative and using what we have, like you said, Mr. Nash Ferguson, the same thing. That is something that we have done as a people, as Bahamians for a very long time. We've been using what we have. And so I feel like that is something that we kind of like retouch and we say, hey, this is about the culture, right? And mm-hmm. and what we've been doing. So we have those elements, but we know we also need to beef them up, right? We need to find new creative ways to mm-hmm. make those raw materials look great and look even better than the ones that we're buying at the shop. Because one feather, my gosh, like they're so expensive. Tell like these costumes are intensely expensive. Just go, if you have time, anybody who's listening right now, if you have time, go into any of these shops that sell like the junkanoo materials, like the feathers and the beads and all, go and look at the prices. Everybody.
Yeah.
Tears will fall. Yeah. Okay. Like these are very expensive. So if we could say that doing this will make it more affordable, right, for people, then that could be a part of a selling point, right? And then it's also cultural, right? It's a part of Bahamian culture that during hard economic times like we are in now, right? Life is very expensive. We can use reusable materials or maybe a new category or something, but there has to be, or maybe incorporated in junkanoo, junior junkanoo, like start small maybe, but there has to be a way where we can kind of shape up to shift or adjust our posture for sustainability to help us to be more creative in using more natural materials, right? Cardboard is basically paperish, right? So it doesn't take that long to biodegrade, but there are other materials on these costumes that may take a while to biodegrade, especially the plasticky ones like beads and so forth.
And there are people who have started initiatives to recycle cardboard and paper, like the Island School. Mm-hmm. I visited there this summer and they use plates made out of recycled cardboard that their students help to make. And they take the cardboard that they use on their campus and recycle it into plates that they can use in their dining hall. So the cardboard gets recycled over and again.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Well, you have raised a number of things that have me thinking. My biggest problem with junkanoo is that we took a spontaneous celebration of the spirit of the people of the Bahamas, and we turned it into a parade and a competition. Bahamians, you know, that's why really I started EduCulture, because when you say the word junkanoo to a Bahamian, whether they are 5 or 50, 9 times out of 10, they gonna holler out the name of their favorite group. And I'm saying to myself, we are denying our children an opportunity to understand their strength and the price that was paid for them to be here, and the fact that they are descended from ancestors who in the darkest, horrendous circumstances known to man were able to reclaim their heritage and celebrate. That is a powerful, powerful thing. And it all got lost in the parade and the competition. Mm-hmm. Who cheat, who win, who should have won, who could have won. And, and we just squeeze, in my mind, we squeeze all of the essence of junkanoo out. So my thing would be, we have to speak in their language because all they understand is parade and competition in this day and time. So you said it, and I had already just written it down. Brief may want to introduce and support a sponsor, a new category that has to do with the use of indigenous materials. And if you do that, the prize money got to be worth it. Okay. You want to attract attention. And so it has to be, it has to be eye-catching. That's one strategy as we begin to talk, and more will come.
You could still use paint, you could still use spray, you could still use all of these things to enhance those anyway.
Well, see, the other thing you have to be careful about, when I say careful, this is Arlene talking now, because I am a traditionalist, and I believe we are destroying the art form of Junkanoo costumes because we copy too much. We look on the TV, we look on the internet, and we see this, how this country is doing their carnival or whatever. So, child, that's what I think we can do. Yeah. So in the old days, for me, traditional Junkanoo, this is how I was raised. And my mother put me in a costume at the age of 4. I'm now 74. I'll be celebrating my 70th anniversary on Bay Street Boxing Day, God willing, if I'm still alive.
Yeah,
thank you.
But Jasmine was burning to say something. Sorry.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
We're almost out of time. So
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Okay, well, okay, so you said Junkanoo at our very roots was a revolt, you know, using the paper.
Resistance, right.
So right now, the Bahamas is on the forefront. We're one of the most vulnerable countries to climate change.
Yes.
And so how could Junkanoo now be the language to revolt? In this way, like, hey, we're a country.
Great, great. Yeah. Yes.
You know, we're experiencing
we're
all
this. We're standing up against.
So, I mean,
beautiful
how do we,
analogy.
How do you see Junkanoo incorporating in that way now?
That's a deep one.
international
we'll
stage.
Save that for part two. That's going to require some thought.
We have to do part two. This was awesome. It was an amazing show. We're out of time, so we don't have much to say. But I do want to end on a very positive note. Mm-hmm. I want you to, Ms. Nash Ferguson, thank you so much for coming in. Could you let people know how they could get in touch with you and how they can learn more about Junkanoo through your initiative?
It'll be my pleasure. You can reach me at EduCulture, and the number is 328-DRUM, D-R-U-M, mm-hmm. 328-3786, and it'll be my pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much. And we have to do one of those. We have brief where we'll be coming to visit you.
Yeah,
shortly.
Man. Come give me a hail.
So thank you so much for that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our show this week. Same time, same place next week. Join us on Our Blue Bahamas, where we talk about conservation and the importance of sustainability in our behavior and environment.
Amen.